You're about to meet a man on a mission, Ed Lynch. Inspired by his daughter, this man created a juggernaut of a multifaceted business with the purpose of hiring people with disabilities, and he is crushing it. That's today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founder of the Inspiration Foundation and Clean Logic, Isaac Shapiro. What's up, Isaac?
What's up, Evan? How you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm in a great mood today because we have a fantastic guest, a guest that I cannot wait to have this conversation. We're just chatting before we hit the record button, and I'm really excited for today's show. His name is Ed Lynch, and he started an amazing foundation. It's called Michael's Learning Place, and I mean, I don't even want to babble. I just want to get right into it. Ed, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here, gentlemen. I love what you're doing, so applaud to you as well.
Thank you so much. Let's just get right into it. You started this place. It's called Michael's Learning Place, and it was inspired by your daughter. And I just want to like let you take the floor real quick and just take it away. Why did you start this thing? And tell us the story. I just want to hear all about it.
So as it's named after my daughter, Michael, born normal, everything was reaching her you know, developmental milestones up till the age of two. And then there was a situation where it became clear we needed to take her to the doctor. They did their CAT scan. She had fallen and hit her head. And they said, oh, minor fracture, but the myelin that insulates our brain, and her brain in particular, had deteriorated. It's so severe that people at UCLA expected to see a kid on a respirator when we walked into the office with 20 doctors sitting in there. She lived till 7 and a half. And at the time, there were no programs that I felt comfortable bringing her to. Again, I think I forget which one of you, I don't know if it's the other gentleman that's not here that has the daughter with cerebral palsy.
That's me.
That's you. Me. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So my daughter in the last 2 years lacked fine and gross motor skills, lost her language, needed 24/7 support, right? And we were the parents to do that. And I tell the story about her abilities or lack thereof towards the end is like we used to play Barbies. And I played Barbies, right? Because she couldn't manipulate the pieces and move things around. And I would sit there and my goal, and it makes me want to cry. My goal with her was to have her laugh. And, you know, with all she had gone through in her life, she still maintained a smile, the love in her heart. And I could strive to be anything close to that, then I've, I think, reached my goal. And so after she passed, I had been involved with the special needs community since 1988, actually the year she was born, volunteering for a group, Special Olympics, then I became an employee. And never really understanding why I was in the field of disabilities until it became evident for my daughter. And
right.
I had colleagues at that organization that were inspirational, that mentored me when I decided to start Michael's. I didn't start Michael's for 5 and a half years after she passed. I ran somebody else's after school program and learned from her how you don't treat people. And she was a horrible human being at the end of the day, and she forgot about the population we served. Became Man. About money for her. And that's a disservice to most nonprofits when you start doing things like that. So I knew I needed to do more. So then I started an after-school program in Hawthorne at a church. They gave us free space for 9 years and started with 16 kids, raised money through the regional center. David Bowie donated a signed guitar that helped us raise money. His team designed our very first logo, put up our first website. If he was in this Zoom meeting today, he's just like the three of us, four of us. Sorry, Fred, I don't see you there. Just a normal, regular guy that my daughter got to meet and my family has gotten to meet. And
David Bowie?
Wonderful human.
Wow.
Yeah, so he donated a signed guitar. A friend of mine bought it and actually gave my eldest son the guitar. My son, eldest son's a musician, but at the time he was not a musician. He was just a little kid. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good stories, and they all have meaning for me because they've impacted my life. They've impacted the organization. They've impacted individuals with disabilities. And that's really what it's all about. You know, I didn't design Michael's to be here. I didn't design Michael's just while I'm here. It's here to be here long after I'm gone. So my daughter's name, memory never goes away, that story will continue on for generations.
Well, I think that you've created an amazing thing, and obviously you're honoring her memory. I mean, look, when I look at the Learning Place Instagram page, a couple words really stand out to me. I mean, I see food, I see art, I see friendship, I see creativity, I see inclusion, family, diversity. I mean, I just wrote the words that kind of struck me when I was going through the social media, and it's just, I got emotional looking through it, because when I see what you've created, it's inspiring to me. I know the word inspirational in our community is kind of a controversial word.
It's a taboo word sometimes.
Because people are like, we're doing this to be inspirational, but like it or not, you're inspiring me. Because, you know, we spoke before the show about how, I'm trying to use my experience to do good in the world and to use my experience to help other people, especially people who are coming behind me. You know, my daughter's 10 years old now. And one of the main things that I talk about on the show a lot is when I was going through what I was going through with my daughter when she was born, I was very confused and very lost, and I had no idea what the present or the future looked like. Right. And especially as a man, I just felt like I didn't have a lot of support, and I didn't know where to get that support. I didn't know where to turn to, where to go, where to look. And I just feel like I'm trying to help give that back to other people who are going through it now. And I feel like you've done an amazing job blazing the trail and helping people. And look what you've created for so many families, for so many people. And you just look, and it's so inspiring and it's so amazing. And I mean,
I want to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I would like him to get deeper into just more what Michael's does. And, you know, because I know as we continue to talk about our before chat, before we press record, talking about he's got a cafe and hey, you guys can link up and talk about, you know, how to get you moving, Evan. And being, again, what I love about our community, we share information.
That's not a
competitive piece. We talk about how to get other people to do this. So could you just give us a little bit more of the inside of all the components that are inside Michael's Place? Because there's definitely a lot packed in there.
Yeah. So, you know, what happened was we were at this church for 9.5 years as an after school program. Then some foundations gave us an impact cash and to expand and move out of there and get our own space. And then we moved into Hawthorne, 10,000 square foot building, again, as an after school program. And then you stand there in the morning and it's like crickets. It's like it's empty. So then we decided to start an adult program. And the adult program was based on independent living skills, job skills training, hopefully employment, then moving them out of the program, providing them with the skills to have all of those abilities, right? And everybody's different. We're all unique. We all have different talents, and we need to find the talent in that individual. What we were finding is job partners, and I think you've also done a story on this, companies are afraid to hire for what they don't know, right? And if they would just ask the questions, we could all answer the same question. We'd all have the same answers, right, of why they are beneficial at your company. And so then what happened was Ryan, one of our students, was making chocolate chip cookies, and they're really good. And I mean, with staff support, it became part of a rotation in our day program. And that's what started the bakery. And we wrote some grants, turned our kitchen into a commercial bakery at Hawthorne, where our day program and after school program are. Hired a young lady that's got barista service. So this kind of goes to you too, Evan. If you hire the people that know what they're doing, then you don't have to figure out how to do that job. I don't want to be a barista. I can make the drinks. They will not be pretty and they may not taste good. But, you know, I want to hire the people to do their job.
That's right.
And so all of a sudden now we started doing pop-up events. My wife works for Mattel Toys. We were doing pop-up barista, baked goods,
awesome.
4 days a week. two of their locations from like 1:30 to 4:30. So direct interaction with the community. They loved having us there. And then COVID hit and everything got shut down. At that time, we had a food truck. So we're coming out of COVID. I'll try to fast forward here. We're coming out of COVID. And during COVID, actually, we had one lead volunteer and one of our paid employees, Emmanuel, come in 2 days a week during COVID. And we probably gave away 30,000, at minimum 30,000 cookies to local hospitals.
Wow.
People in the emergency rooms, you know, I'm sitting in my office. I'm not worried about anything, right? And here are these people putting their lives on the line. And I'm dropping off these cookies and the story is real, what was going on, you know, and I got to see firsthand. And so I always believe, even though we're a nonprofit and we're always asking for something, besides the work we do, there's always an opportunity to do more. And even today, I've not done enough, right, for the organization and to honor my daughter. Maybe when my time comes where I, you know, that time comes, it'll be enough. So we're coming out of COVID. I reached out to Torrance Memorial Hospital and I said, hey, you know, would you guys consider selling our baked goods down in your cafeterias? And their cafeterias are run by Sodexo, which is a big, big commercial kitchen runner. They run the commercial kitchens of corporations. And this was on a Thursday. On that Monday prior, I hired this girl, Carly, to help grow the business. So we go down to Torrance Memorial and the lady says, would you bring your food truck down? Because we're going to have to close this cafe down the block. And I said, well, can we go see the cafe? So we walk down the block and it's like a convenience cafe you'd see in any kind of a, you know, off hospital setting, you know, drinks and some small sandwiches and things like that. I looked at the lady, not knowing what I was talking about, still makes me laugh. I said, oh, we could run this. Not having a clue, you guys, what we were doing. But everything is teachable.
Yeah. Right? You got to fake it to make it. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah. So we thought, you know, she said, okay. 4 days later, we had the keys. No rent, no utilities. They maintain the property. They maintain the equipment. Wow. Unfortunately, you know, they're wearing masks the whole time, so they don't get to really have that true interaction with a customer. We thought we'd be there a couple of months. We figured, okay, a couple of months, you know, the students will get some experience. It'll be new opportunities. We were there for 3 years.
Wow.
And that became our proof of concept.
That's great.
When we went to foundations to help fund purchasing the cafe property, paying for all the rehab and everything. And they did. And the community has wrapped their arms around us.
That's amazing.
Cafe has been paid. Everything is paid for. We own the property free and clear.
Wow.
So that's the bakery and the cafe. So the cafe has been open almost 2 years. June will be 2 years.
That's incredible. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. The very first weekend epitomizes why I wanted to do the cafe. It's not about making money. It's about creating awareness. And if we can break even, great. And I could tell you we're some months we're actually past that. We continue to grow. So I'm not worried about that. The very first weekend, there's a couple, young couple, daughter's 3 or 4 years old, sitting at one of our tables. And I'm standing next to the mom who's sitting down. And I say, hey, how'd you hear about us? How was the food? And the mom looks up to me crying and says, I hope one day she can work here. That tells it all right
there. That's everything.
Given the family's hope. But hope goes just so far.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so if you're a family, we've had families visit from Puerto Rico, from back east that have come out, you know, 2 hours away they've come out, and then they go home and they don't have that there.
That's right.
You know, so how do you build one in Tarzana?
Yeah.
Which would be amazing, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So this becomes the norm. I mean, I think one of your podcasts, somebody was talking about, you know, the percentages, and if you could tap into 10%, reduce unemployment by 10%, that'd be amazing. Wouldn't it be amazing if you just walked into every business and it was the normal somebody with a disability, you don't even think about it, right?
That's right.
So the cafe has been incredible. My vision is to open up another one within a year, year and a half, 2 years. It's easy to do if you hire the right people and you surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm a visionary and I'm driven, and I'm driven by my daughter, and nothing is going to stop me from that drive, right? And you guys get this. You understand.
1,000,000%. A million percent. And I got to tell you, we were walking around the other day, and you know, both of my kids go to a school. It's an inclusive school. It's called Chime out here. And what they do so well at Chime is they have a significant population that has kids with severe disabilities, a significant population of typical kids, and a significant population of gifted kids. So there's all these kids that are going to school together. And my son and I were going to an appointment out there, and he saw a kid from school and shouted out his name. Hey, so-and-so. Kid was with his mom. And when the kid and his mom turned around, it was a kid who happened to have a disability.
Mm.
And the mom couldn't believe it, that a kid was like identifying. Hey, oh my, and was excited to see his kid. And the mom like, took me aside and she couldn't believe it. She's like, I can't believe no one ever like stops him and says hi to him in public. But just to get to your point, it's like to have, to be recognized like that, to have a community outside of school, right? I mean, parents like us, we have this fear of like what happens outside of our little, we call it a bubble, like our little bubble that we build, right? At Chime, at my school with my kids, it's like, we know things are going to work a certain way in there, but what happens outside of school? What happens, you know, when she graduate, my daughter graduates from school, when she has to go out and my daughter's probably not going to go out and be completely independent, but like I want her to have a life outside of when, you know, high school ends.
Right.
And creating these opportunities and creating this life, this meaningful world, these connections and stuff for her is super important. And what you're doing with Michael's Learning Place is you're providing that. And I want to, and it's amazing. And the fact that you're continuing to grow this and you want to give this to all these different communities is great. And I want to so be a part of this. And I hope that people that are listening to this and more people want to contribute, and it takes more people to raise their hand and say, me too. And I promise that there isn't a lack of people that are connected to this that want to participate. And that leads to my next question, Ed, is for you, what was the moment that went from just the desire of wanting to do this to action? Like, how did you go from like this idea of I want to do this to like, all right, it's enough talk. It's time to actually do something. Do you remember that moment?
When it comes to the restaurant or prior to the restaurant?
All of it.
I knew before I started Michael's, a year before I started, I knew I was going to start my organization just because of the lack of respect and leadership of the woman that I worked for. And so can I say that 24 years ago, I thought this is where I would be with the organization? Probably not, right? And so for me, learning to not be a micromanager and not being in the weeds and not just staying on top of everybody and just not letting them do their job, if I was doing that, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Probably would not have opened up our print shop. Probably never would have opened up the restaurant.
I didn't even hear you talk about a print shop. What?
Oh, we'll get there. Hold on, gentlemen. I am driven and
I love
there's
it.
So much to do. I think when we were coming out of, when we were just before COVID, so this is an interesting story. So we're at Mattel and they love us. They were loving what we were doing there. Their employees loved it. It kept the employees in the business to not go down the block to Starbucks, right? So they come right to the lobby. So it's really a smart move for them.
Right.
So the head of facilities reaches out to us. He goes, we want to build a cafe for you guys at the corporate tower in the basement, and not the basement, on the ground floor. We'll cover the cost. Engineers are out. Architect drew plans. They've got this figured out. He goes, I need to fast track this. And then Mattel had their worst quarter in history.
Oh, no.
First thing off the table, which was okay because then COVID hit like 9 months ago.
Right.
And we never would have opened there.
Right.
And so I think that was kind of the driving force. But then again, I look at opportunities that come along, right? And if I'm closed-minded, I miss it, right? I could have very easily down to Torrance Memorial and said, oh, I hope you find somebody. But instead said, not knowing what I was talking about, but realizing I've got enough smart people around me, we'll figure this out.
Yeah.
If I'd have said no, we wouldn't be talking about a restaurant right now. So I think there are steps that are taken, at least in my situation, that have fallen into place. And there's a little bit of luck in everything. Again, it's the people around that really make all of this happen. You know, and I say that a lot and people kind of look at me, well, you did that. I'm like, I know what I've done. And it's not about me. It's really not about me. I cannot do all of this on my own. I have to have a team. I have to have people that can raise money. I have to have people that believe in us, foundations. I mean, it takes a village and a community
right.
to do this. And I think to your point, Evan, there are a lot of people out there that want to do something like this. And some have the financial ways and means they can make that happen, right? So how do we best support them where it's not a franchise, where it's not a Michael's Cafe, where it's Evan's Cafe, whatever it might be? You know, I think we should be sharing all of that information. So I don't think there was an aha moment that said, I'm going to do a cafe now.
Right.
But I could tell you that Torrance Memorial was the stepping stone to finding the property we're in. And I don't know if I heard this on your podcast, but if you look at a nonprofit, and if I was to run the cafe as if it is a nonprofit, but as if it was a nonprofit and not a for-profit, we probably would not be in business. Right? So location, location, location is everything.
Yeah.
In Redondo Beach, a parking lot is even bigger than that. And so we have a parking lot. If we didn't have a parking lot, we wouldn't be open.
Yeah.
Probably never would have pursued that property. So I think when you put it out there to the universe or however you want to look at it, and you ask people to help, found a realtor. Hey, Bill, I've known Bill a long time. Can you try to find me something? This is what I'm looking for. And I didn't think it'd be as big as this. Originally, it was just a coffee shop with our baked goods. But this is a full breakfast and lunch cafe.
That's incredible.
That is amazing. I mean, it's just, I sit there and you guys, and I just smile all the time. And people come in there and they're moved by the story and they love the interaction and it's natural and it's not fake. And, you know, to your point of getting out of school when she graduates, having social connection, a job brings you that.
Yep.
You know, to see some of my students that didn't have a lot of language, all of a sudden starting to communicate is just.
We've seen that so much at our organization, yeah. At Clean Logic. You know, I want to make sure that we get to this because I think what's important is it didn't sound like you had this expertise in cafe, running a business. but we see a lot of the stuff that we see in front, like the great work that you've done. But what I like is the story that took to get there, what you really had to get through. I always have a thing of, you know, I'm trying to understand when people choose to go for-profit, nonprofit. I'm a big for-profit. And I still, even when you have a nonprofit, they're still businesses. So I hate that word nonprofit because I don't know why people think they don't make money. They got to make money to employ. So tell us a little bit about your startup. Like, what challenges did you take in? And what did purpose get you through? Like, how did purpose get you through? Because I think that's the thing that we find consistently with entrepreneurs like ourselves and yourself, where we didn't know what the hell we were doing, but we just needed to get done, excuse my friend. But like, because you're so driven by your and I've been hearing lately as we did our Dining in the Dark, people saying he's relentless, but it is. It's this continuous, like, you got to fight through it. So I would like to hear some of those moments that you maybe even thought it was going to fail. And how did that one moment, you know, give us some of those pieces. Because I think that's the part that I think fun part.
How it's not all sunshine and roses. You got to push through sometimes. Yeah, I get it.
Thank you.
Yeah. People have asked me that before. And, you know, the financial struggle was always a concern, right? But I can tell you as an organization, we've never had a red year in 24 years.
Wow.
We've been very, very fortunate, right?
Wow.
And I also believe if you're an organization that's raising money and you're putting money in the bank, you better spend that money. And you better do something with it because you as a donor giving me $10 or $1,000, you want to see where your money's going. And so they get to see where it goes. I'm driven by my daughter. I'm driven first and foremost by her, and then I'm driven by the population that we work with. I'm just a kid from Jersey. You know, I came out here when I was 16. I'm just a kid from Jersey. Nothing formal, no formal education about me, some college, but nothing really to brag about. No alma mater, let's put it that way. But I'm just driven. I'm driven. I'm 66. I hope I can work 15 more years.
Awesome.
I love what I do. It's not a job for me. And just to see the students' faces when they get that first paycheck or when they're offered a job, when you see them make their first cappuccino or learn how to make an omelet by one of the best chefs in Manhattan Beach, you know, that's what it's about. It's about those individual successes. And then hopefully those individual successes will move into showing somebody that owns a business to give them a job.
Yeah.
Right? We can't hire everybody. It's training first and foremost, and then employment second. We've got 11 individuals with disabilities employed at the cafe. One of them's one of the line cooks, came from Amazing. From Cheesecake Factory.
Yes.
So those are the stories that inspire me and drive me to do more. You want me to go real quick about the print shop?
Can I, yes. can I just ask one question ahead, before I get ahead, to this thing? Because I actually think you brought up something, because what I haven't thought about, or I have thought about when the business side, but I think what you're saying, you have such unbelievable passion for this. And you said you got 15 years. So
I hope.
What is your succession plan? What are you going to do to transfer that? How are you thinking about that today? Because I think that's a thing that I don't think I think about, and I think I'm going to work till I die. But you've got a plan. So how do you transfer that? I think that's a good question for our audience. And are you thinking about that? Because your passion is unbelievable. So how do you keep that going?
It's been a thought, and there's two plans in place. The first plan is I moved my development director to COO position a year and a half ago. So I could be out of the weeds. She can take on more of the dailies with the programs and the staffing and all of that. I don't wake up tomorrow. The interim plan is she steps in. So, everybody does their part at Michael's. My assistant manages the books and, all the legal stuff that we have and insurances. And then Paige is working with all the programs. So she'd be the interim plan. And then the board needs to then look at, no one's going to replace me. It's got to be someone that's young, dynamic, that is about growth and not complacency. And then I put a list of personal qualities that I think are vitally important. For me, it's the first step is coming from the heart. This stuff will come catch up, but it's the heart first. It's got to be somebody that's caring and loving, believes in the population. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's somebody that has fought the battle and wants to take it to the next level. I have not identified that person, but Paige, who's the COO, is incredibly capable and able, very, very smart, balances me out. We have amazing conversations, and because again, this can't fall apart for me, right?
Yeah.
And foundations also that fund, they want to know what's going on with leadership. So whenever you're doing a grant proposal and you're asking for money, one of the questions is, what's happened with leadership? Well, so far today, nothing has happened with leadership. And knock wood, if I can continue to stay healthy, my dad's 91, so I've got a few years, I think. But there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, they say, all the experts say that, purpose is a huge driver in lifespan, yeah. Right? And this is a big thing. When you're driven and you go to work and you're excited to go to work and you feel that sense of purpose, it's the best thing you can do for yourself. That and also exercise.
That as well. Five mornings a week. I'm at the gym at 5
in
the
morning.
There we go.
There we go. That's great.
Keep moving.
We got to wrap up. Thank you so much, Ed. If you want to follow Michael's Learning Place at Michael's Learning Place on Instagram, where else can they find you, Ed?
We're all over. So Instagram is probably the best place. We're on TikTok, YouTube, michaelslearning.org, the website. If anybody wants to have a conversation with me about doing something, I'm an open book. That's why I'm in the role that I am in, to try to create awareness and help people do something. And Nike's got the best tagline.
Just
and
do
I tell
it.
People that every time I meet with them now, just do it. Just decide you're going to do it and just do it.
One last place. If you live in LA, where do we visit you at?
So we have our cafes at 2302 Artesia Boulevard in Redondo Beach. Our print shop's at 2522 Artesia Boulevard, Redondo Beach, 5 blocks away. Come on down. I'll meet you for lunch.
Sounds like we might have to have a part two, because we didn't get to the print shop, by the way. So
I
might
will talk with you guys anytime.
That's going to do it for us here at Driven by Purpose. Thank you. Remember, like, subscribe, comment, tell a friend, and tell a friend, and tell a friend. Do all that stuff. We'll see you next time. Driven by Purpose. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.